WGNSTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome back to Dome and Domer. I'm Mike Sullivan, and again with Ed Jordanik, Ed Sullivan, and Mike Coffey of ND Nation, we're going to continue our conversation about the depth chart as the Irish head into the season opener against Nevada. We spent our last program talking about the offense, and I think what the conclusion was, there was, you know, a lot of groups that are still question marks, and it's put up or shut up time. And that's on the side of the ball where most people feel we have the most experience. Defensively, there's many new faces, and you know, I think there's far more question marks there. But yet again, the theme remains more competition, more quality depth than we've seen in a long time. So even though there's question marks, I'm still optimistic about the personnel and the season. Mike Coffey, let's start with what promises to be the strength of the defense, and that's the secondary, loaded with talent.
Absolutely. We talked last show about how the wide receivers were the only group on offense that you kind of had everything penciled in and felt confident about. I believe the same thing would apply to the defensive backfield. Charlie Weiss's recruiting in this area since he arrived has been not only a bright spot, but an unusual bright spot, because if you look at the 10 years that preceded it, you didn't really, on signing day after signing day, you didn't look at, oh, look at that cornerback we got. The cornerback was always one of the toughest positions to pull in, and yet Weiss has been able to do it. With Walls coming back from his suspension, I think he's just adding more strength to a unit that was incredibly strong last year in a weak season.
I look at corner in particular, and it's just ridiculous how much talent we have there. You look at a guy like Rashawn McNeil, who I thought had a great season last year, and he's listed behind Robert Blanton, who as a freshman, you know, obviously had a very good season. But McNeil was, you know, a rock-solid guy, and he's gotten beat out. Now, reality is we're going to have three corners in the game quite a bit. And then third, Gary Gray, a guy who was very highly regarded and very athletic at corner. He's listed third. The other side, then you got Darren Walls, who's a proven entity.
Yeah, our defensive backfield history is, you know, maybe one playmaker, rarely two. And I think you've got three legitimate big-time playmakers in Blanton and Walls
McNeil.
I mean, those guys can take it to the house when they touch the ball. And they're kind of rangy. You know, they've got a little – they're not Smurfs. I mean, they can get up and play with the bigger receivers, which is really important in today's game. So, you know, and you hear a lot about, you know, Slaughter, you know, is a good player. Obviously, Sergio Brown makes things happen. He's a playmaker on special teams. And, you know, and we'll get to the safeties. But they've got guys that aren't afraid to mix it up. They've got kind of the right chip on their shoulder. And they're going to have to, because I think this year's defense, at least at the beginning of the year, is going to work from the back forward. You know, you'd like it to work from the line out and apply the pressure and then have those guys, you know, have some time to make. But there's going to be a lot of pressure on them until we kind of get that front seven figured out, figure out who the guys are there that we can count on. So I think that's going to be what we'll see early in the year, is that, you know, we're going to need plays from those guys right away.
Hopefully the combination of some talent and experience back there will allow us to throw another guy in the mix to put pressure up front. Because if you've got guys who can cover on the corner, who can lock on man-to-man, holy cow, does that open up all sorts of other things that you could do defensively and maybe overcome some of if you have some weaknesses up front.
Well, so it's perfect for John Tenuta's scheme to be able to have guys that can lock up and chase you all over the field, because you know he's going to be bringing people. And I think, Ed, that's a great point. You look at the safeties, and last year you lose everybody's preseason All-American was David Bruton. And he had a, you know, real solid season.
Great.
Real solid season. He's gone, and Harrison Smith steps into that role. But it's not like you're bringing in an inexperienced guy there.
No, that's right. He got a lot of experience. And actually, the point I was going to also add to that about these guys, both corners and safeties, it seemed to me that they have good attitudes. You know, they're going to take some lumps. If we're going to take a risky offense, they're going to get hit over the top a few times, and they've got to be able to bounce back. And I think we saw that throughout the course of last year. You know, there were some plays, some things went against them, but they'd come back and make a big play after that.
And going back to the depth issue, Ed, they're playing against Golden Tate and Shaq Evans and Michael Floyd in practice every day. That can't hurt.
Yes.
So when you've got a guy like Blanton who will pop right back up after giving up something over the top to one of those guys and stick with them and make a pick the next time down, I mean, you know, that is a good laboratory for them heading into games against Nevada, USC, Michigan State down the road.
Yeah, again, depth and competition. position does amazing things for a football team. At strong safety, Kyle McCarthy, record-setting performance in terms of tackles from a defensive back, and he's a guy that I thought filled in for Zbikowski and made a lot of people feel like maybe that was an upgrade when Zibby left. And McCarthy's back, and you mentioned Sergio Brown at earlier, who was, I thought, a special team standout last year. And so, you know, there's going to be times when we have 5 and 6 defensive backs in, and as Mike Coffey said, you know, in the past, maybe you'd worry about, oh, geez, we got maybe one guy, but who's the next guy? I have a lot of confidence when we have 6 defensive backs in the game.
It's the deepest part of the team.
It is, no question about it. Linebackers may be the most promising, certainly with the addition of Manti Te'o, the all-everything freshman recruit who's initially in August has lived up to expectations.
It certainly seems that way. I find it interesting that on the depth charts that you read these days, he's in the picture, but they haven't penciled him into a starting position, which I suspect maybe is more of a motivating thing than anything else. You want to make sure that when a freshman comes in, you're not immediately just dropping him in based on hype.
I think unless it's the court, last name isn't Smith.
It seems to be a requirement on there. Tackle by Smith. I think that Mike Collins is just getting lazy. He doesn't really want to have to be consulting depth charts. But as Mike said, this is the group that I think is going to decide how the season goes for us defensively. Because if they can get good pressure on the quarterback and take the pressure off the backfield, it's going to make everybody look a heck of a lot better.
Well, I'll jump in and disagree with you. I think it's going to be the next group we talk about, the defensive line, that will determine ultimately the success. But this group is critical, again, with the Tenuta scheme of bringing pressure. Where do you think Te'o ends up? Is he going to be, you think he'll eventually be the starting linebacker as the Mike, or will he play the Will, and they'll move Brian Smith over to the Mike?
I think if they're smart, are they going to want to give him some time and bring him along and see what he can do when he's really out there on, you know, a Saturday afternoon, not just in practice.
Yeah, if he's the athlete that it sounds like he is, they're going to have him on the field. They're going to live with his mistakes because he's going to make plays, and he's going to be a missile, and he's going to cause some fumbles, and he's going to get around the ball. So I don't know. I think I'd feel better if he and Brian Smith are on the field at the same time. To me, that's the combo that you want ultimately, and whether that takes a half of the first game or 3 games, I don't think it matters, but I think that's where we're headed.
When you have maybe Brian Smith, Te'o, Darius Fleming as your 3 linebackers, that's more athleticism than I can remember from a group of Notre Dame linebackers.
Well, okay, you know, to be kind of, you know, an old fart Notre Dame fan, and, you know, you look at our great teams always had great physical defenses. They were led by big-time linebackers, and we haven't had that. I mean, I thought we had some kids that played with heart last year, but they just didn't have it. Yeah. It didn't have the size and the mobility and the range and the strength and the athleticism to be able to stand up against the kind of guys they were facing, and they just got worn down. Mike, it's an interesting debate about, you know, it's the upfront guys or the linebackers and who's going to be the keys right now. I'm excited about this linebacking core, and in my mind, I think back to the great teams and great defenses who are led by great linebackers.
Yeah. Linebackers cause fumbles and pick up fumbles, and we haven't seen that much around here, so I want to see that this year.
Yeah, well, I'm going to defend my position about the defensive line. If they're doing their jobs, the linebackers are going to come free more often. If guys have to double our defensive tackles, you're going to have linebackers who are unblocked, which we all know that from the other perspective.
Yeah.
We've seen that for the last 5 years where the linebackers are just not blocked. But anyway, up front, it's an interesting group of guys. I think the clear standout in that group is Ethan Johnson going into his sophomore year. And he's a guy that can play as defensive tackle, or in some cases they might move him on the end because he's athletic enough. I mean, he played some defensive end last year. And he's a guy that gives you some flexibility. But other key guys in that group also are Ian Williams, Kerry Neal, and a guy who is expected to do great things this year, didn't play last year, Capron Lewis Moore.
That seems to be the name we're hearing the most coming out of practices. And as you said, people are watching Lewis Moore to say, you know, will he have the opportunity to show what he can do? A player I'm most interested in watching is Hafiz Williams. We've heard so many great things about him, and he has the, not to use a cliche, the intangibles that you want from a lineman. He's got good technique. He's strong. And he's the kind of player that even if he's not starting, he's providing the depth that, as you said in our last broadcast, you want them all playing. So they're going to find their way onto the field, and I think that we're going to be seeing a lot of good things out of Hathaway.
It seems on paper that we're stronger on the edge than we are up the middle. And so the development of the guys that that Mike is talking about, Hafiz Williams and Newman and
Stockton
is a freshman who might see some time, and Swinar, who seems to be showing up in some reports as they're very pleased with. I probably didn't say his name right. But those guys they're kind of more they're true tackles. They're not hybrids like Johnson. They're not on the edge. They're true tackles. So if we're strong up the middle, if those guys develop in, you know, 2, 3, 4 games in, we'll see that. That, I think, will really make a difference because they'll take up a block. You know, they'll take up some space, that'll give Neal and Fleming a chance to get to the quarterback.
They got some size, too, because sometimes, like Kerry Neal, 6'2", 250. That's just not that big.
No.
That's not that big. So I worry sometimes a little bit about our guys up front and whether they're a little too light. You know, Richardson is 255 and John Ryan is 255. And, we need some girth up there.
Well, those guys are, I think, situational players that are going to rush the passer. The key is, will the big guys, if you want to go big against a running team and you go with both Williams guys at tackles and maybe Johnson plays end, you got some size. With our schedule, we're going to have to, I think, play mostly against teams that spread the field. But Michigan State's coming to town, and you know what they're going to do.
Yeah, and this is where we may have depth, but we don't know. Because Ian Williams, I don't think he can be on the field every down. And, Johnson is going to need, a little bit. I mean, you need bodies to rush in there.
That's right. Your seconds have to get
right. Your seconds
time.
Have to
and get
that's
quality playing time.
Right. Absolutely.
Hafiz Williams, Brandon Newman, Tyler Stockton, those are really the key guys from that standpoint of, can I come in and play on second down and give the guys a blow for third down and situational substitutions like that.
And to follow up on something Ed said earlier, if Swinar develops and he's something you can count on, then maybe Tyler Stockton gets another year and doesn't see the field this year.
Wouldn't that be
something? That would be just,
That would be what people like Florida and USC and people like that do.
That's right.
Those guys come in and suddenly, out of nowhere, they're an All-American as a junior or something like that, right? Because they've been behind people in developing.
We are so young on the defensive line as well. When you look at our first one and two deep depth chart, Lewis Moore is a sophomore with 4 years of eligibility. Ethan Johnson's a sophomore. Hafiz Williams and Quiner are sophomores. Ian Williams is a junior. He's the old guy of the group. Newman's a sophomore. Stockton's a freshman. That's encouraging. It's a double-edged sword, as we know, but we should be stocked there for a couple years with talent. So I feel very, very positive about the defense because, I think maybe the best coach on the team is Corwin Brown. I really like what he's done the couple years he's been here. And then you match him up with Tenuta, who, is this nut genius defensive guy. And I think we could be a pretty good defensive team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, go ahead, Ed.
No, I was just going to see. I mean, I think before we wrap up, we should touch on special teams. There's the difference between this season meeting expectations or exceeding them always comes down to a little bit of luck, a play here and there, a missed field goal, a made field goal, a return that stopped, all those types of things. Obviously, we're all kind of saying the same thing in terms of athletically, this is the strongest team that we've had for a while. That often translates into good special teams play. Mike Anello back. Will he be what he was last year before suffering a really pretty dramatic, difficult injury to recover from? And return guys, trying to incorporate guys who aren't frontline players. All those different types of issues. And a kicker that won the job who's never put on a Notre Dame uniform before. Yeah. So these are really, really big things that are coming down the pike. And special teams is an exciting part of the game. We kind of got spoiled, I think, in the Holtz era with good special teams.
But it's not luck, though, Ed. I mean, we had great special teams, not because, just the breaks went. You're not suggesting that. I just want to make the point that Holtz had great special teams because he made it a priority.
Right. Right.
And I hope that we do get a return to that level of performance.
As Dan Devine once said at a pep rally, here at Notre Dame, our special teams are very, very special. And it's going to be important.
Let the man rest in peace.
True story. He actually said that at a pep rally. What do we think of picking the freshman as our
care. I've got to tell you, I'm really nervous about that.
Me too. Because I don't want him to get off to a bad start. Yeah. And then the whole psychiatric, the whole psychology of, you know, I missed my first kick and am I a flop and all those things. That's silly, but that's how I feel.
True. I two things give me heart. That one, I believe that Tosh in his high school league and where he played, very similar to college style, no tees used, everything off the ground for field goals and whatnot, so that won't be an adjustment for him. And I like the fact that he actually came in and won the job. Now, I realize that Brandon Walker didn't set the world on fire last year, but for Tosh to come in and kick well enough to win the job, that tells me at least at some basic level he's showing better skill at what we desperately need than Walker did. So granted, he may... the psychology of it may be a concern, but I'm not worried about the physical part of the game for him.
And when you're playing Friday Night Lights, I mean, there's a fair amount of pressure there. So, you know, kicking is strange. When you think about the teams that we've played, there's been a ton of freshman kickers that we faced through the years that were ice in their veins, and a lot of seniors that would fall apart. So it's a real kind of individual.
Kickers are weird.
Yeah, it's just a strange deal. So he's obvious. He has the physical skills. That is, I think, obvious from the tryout and the preseason and winning the job. And you know, we'll see. Hopefully, the first couple games that he's involved in will be relatively. Low pressure situations, and he can get off to a good start.
Yep, and we will be back in a few days to talk about the first game against Nevada and do a little breakdown and analysis about managing our own expectations as well as looking at the X's and O's of it. Until then, you've been listening to Dome and Domer. For Ed Sullivan, Ed Jordanic, and Mike Coffey, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time.